welcome you to the Endowment for Medical Research conference call. J.C. Spencer is the CEO of the Endowment for Medical Research and is also the facilitator for endowmentmed.org. J.C., welcome to the conference call.
Thank you, Matthew. Greetings, everyone. We're going to do an overview on this broadcast, where an overview of glycomics, of where it is, where it's going, and what we're going to do about it, and what you can play a role in helping make happen. Glycomics is relatively new. It takes about 40 years for any really great idea or concept to be accepted, and we're about 20 years into it. Over in Oxford University in 1988, the word glycobiology was first coined. Now, prior to those, for the previous few years, a number of research, quite a bit of research and papers and all were being prepared and studied. They were discovering things in the field of glycobiology, but they just hadn't called it that yet. And if you think that this is not a vast, growing area of knowledge, just a minute ago I went on PubMed.com or PubMed.gov, which is the National Library of Medicine, sponsored by NIH, National Institutes of Health. And when you get on that website, you type in their search engine the word glycoprotein, and today it came up showing that there are over 463,000 references to papers that have been published dealing with glycoprotein technology. This is exciting because of the information, the knowledge that's growing so fast that nobody can keep up with it. And what we're doing on the website at endowmentmed.org is that we're reporting some of the latest discoveries, some of the latest work that's going on in universities around the world, and posting this information so that healthcare professionals, physicians, and the general public can go into our website and prioritize what they're looking for and be able to discover not only a lot of the current information, but we have just a vast library of information and data and articles and science papers and little video clips. And what I would encourage anyone doing visiting our website to see the significance of glycobiology is to scroll down from the homepage just a little bit where it says glycomics training, and there's a little screen there that you can click on, and it just plays about I don't even know how long it is, probably about 15 or 20 seconds, maybe even less than that, of Dr. Robert Murray. He's an MD and a PhD, and he spoke at our glycomics conferences and wrote Harper's Biochemistry Handbook section on the science of glycomics. And there in that brief video clip, you can get what he is saying of the importance of glycomics, of how it is the future of medicine. It is the future of healthcare. It is playing the major role in this paradigm shift that we know of in healthcare. And the internet is making it more difficult to conceal truth. And you may have heard me say it before, and I did not originate this thought, but the truth has three phases. Initially, truth is just denied. And then secondly, truth is vehemently attacked. And then after it's presented, it is accepted as self-evident. And so I tell people that the cat's out of the bag. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. The science of glycomics has been established. There is no turning back from that standpoint, and the future in this science is indeed very, very bright, because it's going to play the role in not only healthcare, but in the whole genome project. And the genome project is where we now have more data stored in science on this planet than any time in the past. And there's so much data that we don't even understand the significance of the data. We've never processed all of the data. We don't even know what all of the data contains. And you have so much data in your body in one single DNA cell that is so phenomenal in plotting your history and plotting your health and knowing what you're susceptible to and knowing where your future lies from a health standpoint and the future of your children and your children's children. All that information is stored in one little single strand of the DNA. And Gycomics plays the part, plays the role that it is the operating system to process all of that data for your body. In other words, as your glycoprotein receptor sites that coat every cell of your body like fuzz on a peach or trees on the surface of the earth, as it processes this data of the DNA and the needs of every cell, that is so overwhelming that it is literally thousands of times more complex than the DNA itself. Now, what is so exciting in this is that we now have all of this vast data. We do not know how to read it. I believe that Gycomics will play the role not only in the body, but in the lab, in the science field of being able to interpret all of this vast information that's in one single strand of the DNA. And that is so overwhelming that there's like 1 billion letters in one single strand of DNA. And these letters, there's four of them, and these letters are arranged different ways. That is an overwhelming, it's so big that if you just typed out those letters in a single book, regular type size and all, that book would be as thick as the Empire State Building is tall. So that's kind of overwhelming. And when you take all of this vast knowledge, we're just, I believe, on the new frontier of science that will make a difference in the way people think about their health. It'll make a difference in how we can control our health. It'll make a big difference in the future of health care, not just in developed countries, but in also in all of the developing countries, because we've learned that the DNA can be switched off and on, the gene expression can be switched off and on by toxins. And that is a major significant thing that was recently discovered just in the last few years. So universities around the world are doing research now in Gycomics. They're doing research in this vast field of glycobiology, and they're coming up with new discoveries. And we're posting a lot of those on the website that are done not just in the United States, but we're gleaning them from a lot of the other countries and making that information available through the website. And the purpose for the Endowment for Medical Research is to educate not only the healthcare professional and the physicians and make available training there, but to make it so easy for the general public to come in and click on different things and read new articles and use the search engine built into the website and go into the news section and go into different sections that we have that our wonderful web team has put together on endowmentmed.org. And so you can play a pretty significant role in all of this and speed up the paradigm shift of healthcare, literally, by emailing this information out and emailing the link to the website out to all of your database within your own email address list. And just let people know that this is free information, and they can tap into it anytime they want to, 24/7. And, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are just scrambling right now to to come up with ways of using dry comics in this paradigm shift that they see happening, because people want what is called evidence-based medicine. They want evidence-based something that's changing their lifestyle, because the drugs are giving more side effects a lot of times than they give solutions. And so in this scramble, the pharmaceutical companies are blending or mixing dry comics in with the very, very toxic drugs. And it's going to play a significant role there, because in these drugs, it's going to help detoxify the body and help get the toxins out. I have just studied some papers that we'll be posting on the website soon. And these are university-based papers. These are published documentations of bringing dry comics into different areas. That it's difficult to talk about, because once we talk about treating and curing and all of that, that causes, you know, laws to be broken, and we've just got to walk a very, very fine line. But what is interesting is the truth will prevail, and while it is not legal to put a label claim on a lemon or on a lime, the world now knows that a lemon or a lime not only treats, but it cures scurvy. That's a known fact. And as the internet is used more and more to not only research literature of what already is available, and that's what we're doing on the Endowments Medical Research website, is that we're doing a lot of the work for people that they don't have to do. You can still go in and do a lot of research on your own, but we're trying to make it convenient for a person to hit the highlights of what is out there. And there is a very, very detailed paper that we'll be posting soon that's dealing with exactly how the glycoprotein receptor sites are changed by the different sugars and is preventing cancer and literally curing cancer. Now, we can't say that with a particular product, but that is not what I'm saying. It's what the doctors are saying. It's what the universities are saying. And the information is now available in detail. I was sitting this week face-to-face with doctors and discussing some things that's coming down for the future and helping us understand what is tomorrow. And here was an interesting thought that was in this discussion, and that is that we know that there is a lot more there in the coding than meets the eye than we possibly can understand. We know that every fingerprint and every thumbprint, every, you know, is different. Even twins, you know, is somewhat different. So I was mentioning the fact that we know that blood types, that there's not very many blood types, and yet when you look at the changing, and the blood type is changed just by one sugar on the end of that glycoprotein. If one sugar is changed, it's a type A, another sugar it's different, it's O, it's B, and changed a little bit there. And so there's really what now scientists are saying, that there's 29 blood types. And one of the doctors in our meeting spoke up and said, I really think that when we get down to it, we'll find that there is not only 29 blood types, but there is literally a blood type different for every person. So that means that when you get down into the detail of it, yeah, it's got a unique fingerprint. It's got a unique characteristic to your blood that's different than anybody else's blood. Everybody's DNA is unique. It's different than anybody else's DNA, because generation after generation after generation, it has been altered or changed as the mother and father produce another child that is both of their DNA going into the construction of that DNA. And so I have contended for many years myself, and John Robert, who is on our staff, and he and I have talked about brain function for well over 30 years and the significance of thinking differently and how the information is stored. And of course, in the book, Expand Your Mind, Improve Your Brain, well, I think there are over 500 pages in that book that we reference 700 medical doctors, MDs, PhDs, scientists, researchers, and educators in the field of glycomics and in the field of brain function. And I have contended for many years that not only are the thoughts stored in your brain, but literally the information is stored in the DNA. It's stored in every cell of your body. And now we're discovering that there is so much information in the DNA that it puts to shame any computer that man has ever built. And so with this thought in mind, the frontier of glycomics, this field of science, is so vast that there is no way that one team or one person can possibly exhaust the exploration of this. It is like we've discovered a new planet, we've discovered a new solar system, and now we want to explore it and discover what all is possible, what all is there. And glycomics is going to fit into the area not only of medicine and into the understanding of the health and all of this, but glycomics is going to play a significant role in the future of quantum physics. And we certainly don't have time to get into that, and I don't know very much about it anyway. Except I do know that we now have articles that we welcome you to read that from our homepage, even just scroll on, click down, and we've learned that the DNA, in the body, we know that we can see altered gene expression with these sugars when they're taken into your body, and we now know that we can literally see altered gene expression when a person thinks negatively or when they think positively. Now we're getting into the area of quantum physics. We're getting into an area where science is changed, or the synapses are formed, the neurons are altered, the DNA gene expression is changed by thought. And if a person constantly thinks negatively, they are going to have a pessimistic outlook on life. If they think positively and they believe that more good than bad can come out of any situation, then there's going to be an optimistic trait. And that trait will be developed not only in you, but in your children and your children's children. And so the whole vast field of expanding your mind and improving your brain. Improving the brain is the physical aspect of it. Expanding your mind is literally altering the gene expression. It is changing things in your body. It is going to enable you to not only have a better outlook on life, but be able to accomplish things that you didn't think were possible. And when you didn't think they were possible, they certainly were not possible. I want everyone that's listening in on this conference call today to think of the role that you can play in changing people's lives for the better. And that all has to do with education, it has to do with attitude, and it has to do with what we've got our hands on right now, that no time in history has all of this been possible. Your grandfather and great-grandfather could not accomplish in a lifetime what you can accomplish even today. And when you tell other people and other people tell other people, we can network this information, we can network this education to the planet. Now, we're going to be coming up with some new things within the next few weeks that I think is going to be so interesting. Awful lot of these sugars is expanding. Universities are coming up with different aspects and different information about how things work. We're going to be posting the abstract of this very, very significant published paper on how these sugars play the role in oncology, how it plays the role in cancer. And because the cat's out of the bag, because the research has been done, and here is a step-by-step basis. I'm not sure we'll post the whole article. I don't know that we could do that, but we certainly can post the abstract and reference the article so that people will know how to go, and the physicians and healthcare professionals can know where to go and get the complete article and study how these glycoprotein receptor sites are altered. They're changed by this sugar, and this sugar does that, and that sugar does this. And this is university-based research. This is university-based education. This is university-based evidence that is so conclusive that there is no debate on certain parts of this. Now, a person can argue and debate truth all they want to, but we know that truth will eventually win out. And so that's what the website's all about, and that's what the Endowment for Medical Research is all about, is gathering this truth, gathering this information, and making it available to the general public and making it available to the healthcare professionals. And we're going to be doing a new pilot survey here real soon. We'll be gathering a lot of information. This is going to be a relatively economical, self-funding pilot survey on Trehalose, because as we gather this information and as we compile all of this information, it can lead to more clinical trials, it can lead to more studies, and the formulation of a new drink we're going to be posting on the website, and how people can not only participate in this study and help us gather information, but we're coming up with a very, I think it's going to be an exciting venture in people just to help improve their health. No medical claims applied or intended, and yet we look at the ingredients in there, and we'll be posting a lot of information about how cranberry juice is so significant. If you go buy cranberry juice, it is normally just so full of sugar that while it has some benefits from the standpoint of often cleansing the kidneys and helping the urinary tract, and a lot of information has been gathered on this, and there are functional label claims that are possible along that line, but because the cranberry juice has so much sugar that's been in there, so you can drink it because it's just bitter, you can't enjoy it. And so we're coming up with a cranberry juice that's sweetened with Trehalose, and then we've added another ingredient into it that is enabling it to enter the cell better. And so this is some very, very exciting, pretty high technology that is going to be available. Probably we'll start introducing it with, you know, pretty quickly. Just stay tuned and go to the website from time to time and see if it's available yet. But this is going to be so interesting, and we want everyone that tries this, that gets into the pilot survey and helps us gather data preceding clinical trials and all of that, we'll just start seeing if we can get some really, really good results from people, anecdotal reports coming back in. Now, while so much is possible, there's just, if you'll take a moment and just go through the website, and for doctors that want to view the website, they can click on for doctors only, and that will give them an index or an overview so that quickly they can just clean through what they want to look at and pull out and study research things, literature research that way pretty easily. And so the future is so bright in this whole field of glycomics that we welcome you to participate and be a part in helping tell the world about it. And our Sugar Science Forum is getting a lot of hits, and we're excited about that, and we welcome you to participate in that. We've got a lot of science papers posted in there. You can scroll down if you click on Sugar Science Forum up there at the navigation bar. And we have science papers all about trehalose. There's a couple of science papers there that's so phenomenal that this is evidence, research that's been done of improving Huntington disease in a mouse model, documentation of how it works. But then there's also how trehalose affects the beta amyloid 40 and 42, as in Alzheimer's. And that's pretty significant research that's been done. And then the research showing that trehalose does not cause tooth decay like other sugars do. And then you can spend a lot of time just on the Sugar Science Forum, and you're welcome to go in and participate on that, and you're welcome to go in and ask questions. Now, when it comes to asking questions, there are certain aspects that we cannot, for an example, if there's medical papers that's posted on there, I am forbidden from coming back in and interpreting that paper in certain areas that I may not be qualified to interpret it. And if there's doctors out there that want to read some of these papers and they come in and post their viewpoint of that, that's okay. But we've got to be very, very careful that we don't take published papers and post them in such a way and then come in and make statements about that that may not be exactly correct. And so we've still got a lot of guidelines that we need to follow very, very carefully, and we want to hold this website to a very high accountability and to a very high ethics value for the benefit of everyone that tunes in on it, knowing that when we put something there, that it's for their value, it's for their benefit, and we just welcome you to spread the word and let more people know each day of the benefits of glycomics. Thank you so much today for listening.
Thank you, JC, and we conclude the conference call.